So there's a Mexican club, mm-hmm. and there was the Armenian club. Is that still
there
around?
There was an Armenian club. Like I said, it's an apartment building now. They moved out to Pontoon Road.
In Granite City. Is that for? Now, the Mexican club, is that just for Lincoln Place?
No, whoever wants to belong to the club, we have members. My brother's a member. He lives in Branson.
So. Oh. Now, so there's the Armenian one still in Granite City, the Mexican one still in Granite City. Was there a club for each ethnic group that lived in Lincoln Place?
In Lincoln Place, I don't know if there was, like, for every ethnic group. But I know that there's an Italian club in Madison. Who else? Croatians. The Croatian home in Madison. I don't know of any Bulgarian club. Hungarian. Matter of fact, our club, the Mexican Iron Commission, used to be the old Hungarian home. They call it the old Hungarian home. It was their club. But they just disbanded, and, you know, we just bought that building for like a dollar or something.
Even though there's these separate clubs, you said your dad played the Armenian club. Did people come from the other ethnic groups and come to the Mexican dancers?
Sure, they did, yes.
Do you think that with the mixing of cultures in his neighborhood, that everyone got a sense of everyone else's culture?
Yes, because in our dances, we've had Armenians dancing in our dances, in our fiestas. So, yeah, they're getting a taste of their cultures and all that.
That's been that way since you...
I can remember going to the... I call it the ARF Club when I was little, because it said ARF, mm-hmm. F period. And I'm not sure if that stands for the American Revolution or something. I don't know. Armenian Revolution. But they would have their little bands playing with either sitar or I don't know what kind of music, real funny type of music. And they would play there like Fridays, and we'd go in there and buy sodas, and they'd get out of here and chase us out, you know. We was kids, you know.
Oh. But, so you really couldn't live in Lincoln Place when you were growing up and avoid other culture, because it was...
No, it was there. No, right, that's right. I can remember we'd have our Lincoln Place reunions, and Armenians would sell their baklava and their pita breads with lamb in them. I mean, that's just really good stuff.
These are things that you probably wouldn't encounter if you hadn't really grown up in Lincoln Place?
I'm sure you'd encounter somewhere, but, you know, more so here.
Pita with lamb and baklava are not common.
No, I mean, if you go to Chicago, taste of Chicago, you know, they got all the ethnic groups' foods. But this was authentic.
Did your mom ever cook for other people, or? Because you said she was a really good cook.
Yeah, she would cook for the club sometimes. When we have our meetings in the Mexican club, everybody takes turns if they want to cook for the meetings and have a meal. She'd cook a few times.
Who was the best cook in the neighborhood?
The best cook in the neighborhood? I got to say my mom.
Did you?
No, there was a lot of good cooks. Mrs. Phillips across the street, the Hungarian, I'm sure she was by far better than my mom. My mom would admit it too. She'd make the best sausage. She'd make stuffed turnips from her native land. Best cook ever.
So, we took the walking tour with all the different bakeries, like two on each block, you know, it seemed, and all the other, like the restaurants and the bars, and everyone had their own authentic food, and then you're talking about how the neighborhood was full of these ethnic cooks.
That could be a way to revitalize Lincoln Place, have a Hungarian shop, or food, and Mexican food, and Armenian food, you know. That's a good idea. You just come up with that.
So you were trying, you were being fed by the other parent, or the other kids' parents? Is that how you...
Being fed?
Well, like, have dinner at someone else's house. Like, how would you...
Well, I don't remember having dinner at too many friends' house. Not really.
So how did you know that Mrs. Phillips was a...
Okay, well, she would... We would send over some Mexican food, and she'd send over some Hungarian food.
Did that happen a lot?
Yeah.
With your family?
It happened a lot between our families.
With, how about with other neighbor families?
Same thing with the neighbor next door, Frances Miller. She was, I don't know what she was, Yiddish, Jewish, I don't know.
And you would give her food and
she
would give you food?
Yeah, she cooked good too.
So you kind of got like a taste of the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see other families do this? Not just with you, but with each other?
Oh, yeah, yes. With the Garcias down the street, they would do the same thing with their neighbors.
So do you think that really helped the sense of community?
I'm sure that did.
Maybe that's what changed everyone's minds about each other back in the 20s
and
30s.
Are you sick of beans or are you sick of tortillas? Say, hey, I want something else.
Yeah, what's that smell? Come from your kitchen. Let's trade some food.
That could have been. You know, you never know.
Maybe that's why all the restaurants started popping up, too.
Yeah. Could be.
Do you think that doesn't happen anymore, does it? Trading food back in?
Barbecues. If you go to someone's house, hey, let's have a barbecue.
Nothing traditional?
No. Nothing traditional.
Do you think, if there were ethnic restaurants here, you think you would go to them?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Now, your wife came from a different neighborhood.
Madison.
Not even in Granite City. Have you talked to her about her experiences growing up in a different neighborhood?
She lived in Lincoln Place. Because I've known her for about 15 years before we got married. My sister used to rent to her. She used to live on Olive.
Mm.
So she rented to her for maybe a year or two. So I've known Phyllis for at least 15 years or more.
But like, are her experiences growing up different than yours?
I'm sure you are. I haven't really, we
never, really talk about
never
it.
Never talked about it, no.
Do you think that what do you think, do you think that Lincoln Place is a typical neighborhood? And
I would like to think not. I would like to think we was extraordinary, you know.
Why?
Because we was close-knit. If I have a problem with somebody, they say, hey, so-and-so, Joe, let's go. This guy's giving me some trouble. I want to say something else. Well,
you can, if you want to.
Someone's giving me some shit, you know. It was taken care of very fast. That's someone's messing with Lincoln Place girl, hey, you know, let's go get them. It was more like that. You know?
You don't think that happens in, or that happened?
I don't think. I mean,
that happens. That happened in other neighborhoods at the same time?
I'm sure it does, but you want to think of your own being extraordinary. I'm sure it does. I know it does. It's got to.
I mean, I grew up in a different neighborhood than Lincoln Place, and I think that, this neighborhood is really different, and you wouldn't know that by, because you've never experienced anything else. But I think that
another reason, to show you how close we was, if we at 12, maybe 11, 10, we go play baseball, we'd all chip in, we'd buy a big soda. I don't remember how many ounces that was, the bigger ones, probably about 30, 40 ounces or whatever. We'd all chip in and say 8 or 9 of us would all drink from the same bottle. That many, and that's how close we was, you know.
Yeah.
Didn't matter who, hey, don't slobber that, don't do this, and, you know, but we'd still drink it, you know, still share it.
No one cared about.
No, we didn't care.
Everyone was, like, the kids in your neighborhood that were your age are like your brothers and your sisters. Did you think that, say it like that?
Yeah.
One Lincoln Place family?
Yeah, I would say that. They would probably say that, too. Lincoln Place stuck together. I can remember going camping one time, and all we took was beer for a weekend. All we had was beer. We took 13 cases. There were 7 of us guys. 13 cases of beer, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, we was hungry, and nobody had any money. We'd scraped up all the change we had. We was camping out at Cahokia Mounds out that way, and we scraped up all the money. We had like $1.39 or whatever. And we went to Skelly's truck stop. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's across from that new raceway in Madison. Mm-hmm. We scraped enough money because that was open 24 hours. Back then, nothing was open 24 hours but a truck stop. We scraped enough money to buy a monster burger. And the person, that the kid that had the most money, got the first bite. And what was funny is he had the biggest mouth, you know. He can open his mouth big, and he took the biggest bite. And I was the one that had the second because I had more money. I think I had 20 cents into it. So.
Did, when did this...
He shared it, though.
How old were you in the...
Probably about 17, 18. I was driving. I know that. I just had my license.
These are all kids from Lincoln Place?
Yeah, yeah.
Did, after graduated high school, what did you do after that?
I went right straight to SIU. I was going to be in, I wanted to get into commercial arts, but they didn't really offer that, so. I guess I was going for a teaching degree, you know, to be an art teacher, but I lost interest.
Did you find a lot of Lincoln Place residents go to SIU?
There was a few, not many, not many.
What did a lot of the people your age do when they graduated high school?
A lot of the people my age probably don't even live here.
They moved away before they graduated?
They moved away or went to college somewhere else or something.
Just kind of left and never came back?
Yeah, some of them.
Was it a lot of people worked at the steel mill?
Yeah, there was a few.
They would go from high school right to the...
Mm-hmm.
Did you think that you didn't want to do that?
No, I didn't want to. My dad never wanted me to. Either. He said it's a hard way to work if you're going to do swing shift and be a laborer.
Do you think your dad sacrificed a lot?
Yes, he did sacrifice a lot for his kids. I can remember at one time I needed my tuition money. He cashed in a Cougar Rent. He had a Cougar Rent. Cashed in to pay for my tuition. I was going on a grant, being a minority, I got a grant to go to school. But at one particular time, I need the money. He cashed his Cougar in for me.
Was he working overtime, or was he?
He wasn't working. He was retired by the time I.
I mean, like when you were, you said he was working swing shifts, and he was working, so he was working a lot.
Yeah, he was working.
Did you see him a lot, or did you?
When I was little, when he worked nights, we'd come home and my mom would make us be quiet, you know, because he's asleep. And he wouldn't have to wake up by 9 o'clock, go to work, be there at 11, you know. And we had to be quiet, you know, because when he spoke, we listened.
Now, how much, he was 18 years older than your mom.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that made a big difference in, how much older than you is he?
My dad was 50 when I was born.
So do you think that his age played a part in his, like how you all to be quiet when...
No, I don't think that his age had that. It was respect. We respected my dad.
We were talking about before, but just like the whole neighborhood value system was part of that respect.
Yeah, respect. I mean, if I was down the street and my dad's friend would see us doing something wrong, you know, He'd reprimand us himself. Say, what are you doing? And then if my dad catch wind of that, we'd get it again, you know.
So like all the kids were brothers and sisters, all the parents were parents of everybody.
Yeah, it was more. Yeah, you get yelled at by all these old Armenian ladies who always yell at us.
That stuff doesn't really happen in neighborhoods today.
It does, you said?
It does not.
Oh, no, it does. You get sued now.
Right.
I'll tell you a funny story, too. We had some neighbors living here. There was a house next door that my dad bought. And the neighbor boy was cussing my dad out. And my dad was sitting down. He had a fly swatter in his hand. He was swatting flies. And my dad got mad, and he chased that kid with the fly swatter. And the kid ran up a tree, and my dad climbed a tree and spanked him with the fly swatter. Needless to say, he ended up in court, though.
Oh, really?
Yes, he did. And if it was today, he would probably went to jail. Well, they did arrest him. And the policeman that come to arrest him was Mr. Phillips' son, who lived across the street. Grains, you know?
Yeah.
And he said, he goes, my dad's name was Salvador. They call him Sam. Sam, I have to take you in. He goes, I won't handcuff you in. You can drive your car, but I have to take you in. So, He followed him to the police station. He didn't want to go through the formalities of a proper arrest because he respected my dad, you know. Nowadays, there's no such thing as that.
Right.
If you're arrested, it no matter if it's your dad, I guess, slap handcuffs on, right?
Yeah, I think
back
so.
Back then, it was, like I said, respect. And he went to court and appeared before a judge who I think was an Armenian that he knew. And the judge more or less slapped him on the wrist and on the leg. And the people next door was outraged over him.
What year was this? Do you remember?
In the 60s.
And that caused problems between you and the family next door?
Yes, it did. It did. Until one time, it was like a sort of like a feud. These people's like there was Tennesseans, and they would talk to us. And they was like that before this event too. See. And what made us good neighbors after that was they saying something to my mom, and my mom passed out. She fainted, and then the lady brought some flowers over. And then from that day on, it was we're good neighbors.
So these were. They were non-immigrants. They were
right.
So do you think that was
yeah.
That played a part?
Yeah.
We were talking about before how.
Yeah.
How old was exactly. Was the kid?
He's 2 years older than me, and I was. I'm trying to guess how old I was. Probably about eight. He's probably about.
So were there problems between you and him, and your brothers and him?
Yeah, we get into fights, and I have my cousin would straighten him out because he's older than me, bigger than me.
Yeah.
I get the shit kicked out of me. So my cousin was older than me, come take care of him. So everything was cool after that.
So, like, the dynamic of this neighborhood is really interesting because, like, you have all these different groups from all over the world, really, Europeans
right.
and Mexicans meet in this tiny little neighborhood where there's, you know, four blocks square.
Right.
And they can coexist where everyone is cool with everybody. Everyone's culture just mixes together. If someone else comes into the neighborhood who's not an immigrant.
And that's who they was.
Right. Is completely an outsider. And that's like a phenomenon. Like, I don't think that would actually happen anywhere else. It just happened here. You'd think anywhere else people would.
It's not to where we said, hey, you don't belong here. It wasn't like that. It was like, you know, they started this shit, you know.
Right.
You know, you don't do that to people from Linger Place. That's how we felt.
Right. Like, well, I mean, you said, you know, they're from Tennessee, and you kind of, you knew that they weren't immigrants. And
right.
How, you weren't like.
Hillbillies. They was hillbillies.
But you weren't like, I think the neighborhood at the time would probably just try to, you know, make them part of their own.
Incorporate them, yeah, we tried.
And then, okay, so are there any other stories about the neighborhood or about?
Yeah, there's one that I left out. This is something my dad had told me a long time ago, that there was a man down the street by the name of Bartolo Campos. He was older than my dad, and he had an unusual job, or whatever you want to call it, in Mexico. What he would do was, have you ever heard of the bandit called Pancho Villa
yes.
in Mexico? He was a bandit. He used to print his own money. and it was backed by his guns. So when he'd go into a town, him and his men, they had his own money, and they would spend it in town backed by his guns. They'd have to spend it, they'd get killed.
Right.
And Bartolo Campos was one of the persons that, when Pancho Villa left that town, well, that paper, that money was worthless, you know. He would buy it, you know, pennies on the dollar, but pesos, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He would buy it so cheap that it was just given to him because it was of no value to the merchant.
Right.
So he would have this bags full of money, and wherever Pancho Villa would go, he'd go into that town and spend it. So that's a little.
So he was like a bandit on top of a.
Well, I wouldn't say he was a bandit. He was smart. I mean, you know, that's something smart. Something, you know.
Entrepreneurial.
Come, there you go.
Illegal entrepreneurial. So,
yeah. It's illegal, but yet.
Now, that is something that you said that your father told you about. Were there lots of stories with you? Were there, like.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I wish I would have recorded these myself and wrote them down and all that. But I'm sure my sister and my brothers can elaborate on more of that than I could.
Well, from my understanding, like the Mexican culture and traditions are like an oral history themselves, where you pass stories down from generation to generation. Is that?
Well, they've got it recorded also. Well,
on top of recorded, yeah, like the story about the neighbor,
yeah,
or things like that, which I'm trying to hardly make a connection here, but like in the United, like Americans don't really have an oral history where Mexicans have like stories that are told. Everyone knows them. Do you know what I'm saying? No.
Well, like a folklore thing?
Kind of. Did you, like, maybe I learned this incorrectly, but I thought that that's what was the part of the Mexican culture.
What's that?
Like a...
passing the stories?
Like, yeah.
Sure, it is, you know.
Did your dad tell you, and your mom, too?
No, not too much. No. A little bit. And if they did, I forgot it.
Yeah. So is there anything else that you'd want to include that we forgot to talk about, or that you wanted to...
I can't think of nothing.
So what would you say about this neighborhood in a couple sentences? Like, if you were telling somebody about Lincoln Place, what would you tell them?
I tell them that, you know, when I grew up, Lincoln Place was one of the finest neighborhoods, even though it was run down, you know, it was fine. It was the best.
And then?
Because of the people, you know, the people made it the best. Whether you had a leaky roof or whatever, if you was poor, it was the people that made it. And, you know, then people are gone or died or moved out, and there's not very many of us left.
Do you think? You think they could, I know we talked about this before, you think you can get back to where you
were? It would be nice. It could. Nothing's impossible. I mean, it could, you know, a few businesses and all that.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.